सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। शांति शांति शांति। ऑफरिंग माई सैल्यूटेशंस एट भगवान्स लोटस फीट, रेस्पेक्टेड एल्डर्स एंड माई लविंग सायराम टू ऑल ऑफ यू। समवन आस्क्ड मी जस्ट यस्टरडे, व्हाट वुड हैव बीन स्वामी'स रिएक्शन to the current times if he was here physically. And I immediately said, from the various instances in the past, whenever there was any trouble, whenever there was any instance of instability or looming dangers, whenever Swami spoke on Ugadi and Swami would say that this year is going to have a lot of pramadi, lot of pain, then Swami used to say that keep your mind on God and do namasmarana. So there were times, as I said, in 1984 and 1996 when Swami gave a series of discourses, and it was probably to keep everyone's mind fully on Bhagwan. Every day Swami was speaking, and those are very beautiful series of discourses. 1984 was on Bhagavad Gita. 96, Swami made almost every student speak before him, and then he gave a discourse. So this is what I immediately said. Probably Swami would have told us to do chanting namasmarana, do the chanting of Vedic hymns, and as much as possible, just like Swami used to say on Shivratri night, this is a time we should spend focusing fully on God. But as I was thinking deeper, what occurred to me is what happened in 1999, what happened in 2002, what happened from 2003, and what happened finally in 2011, and what happened in early March 2020, and what is happening now. In 1999, when the sports meet function was about to start, Swami had told the Vrindavan boys, do not do any stunts, be careful. Generally, the sports meet would have a lot of dance and other items, but there would also be some daredevilry stuff. And Swami that year said, I don't want any of those adventures, but boys are boys and you always want to do some kind of stunts. And that year when Bhagwan was coming for the inaugural ceremony of the sports meet on Jan 11, so as it happens on every sports meet morning, Swami gets down from his car and gets onto the chariot. And so from the beginning of the road, from the Chaitanya Jyoti end, Swami would be sitting on the chariot, and the procession would begin with the dance boys and Vedam chanting and later on lion dance and all that. So, 99, when Bhagwan was coming, suddenly as Swami entered the ladies' side, all the ladies actually got up in a standing ovation. They were so thrilled to see Bhagwan, and that year you had a beautiful procession. Swami immediately got up, and Swami got up in response to the standing ovation on the lady's side, and Swami asked the person driving, it was a member of the trust actually driving, to stop. So he paused, and the vehicle was going very slow, and after a while Swami wanted to speak to someone, some senior trust member, and even as he was doing this, the person driving did not notice this, and he suddenly started, and Swami actually fell off into the chariot. So it was a jerk, just like you're traveling the bus and suddenly you get this brake and you fall off. So I remember all of us, you know, oh my God, what happened? But, you know, Swami immediately got up and the procession continued. I mean, all our hearts stopped for that few seconds. But Swami instantly seemed to be okay. And then he started. And in those days, we did not have these hydraulic lifts also. So Swami had to walk the steps to go onto the stage. And every time he had to come down the steps to do the flag hoisting or leaving the pigeons and all that. And after every program, Swami would come down and give photographs to the participants campus-wise. So that year, Swami went through the entire procedures. He did not disappoint any group. But only one thing that the people who were serving Swami noticed was that Swami was visiting the restroom very often. There is a little restroom beside the stage, and Swami never used to use it. But that was one year when Swami used not once or twice, but at least 5-6 times. That was pretty unusual. But Swami seemed to be doing everything as part of the program, which he did every year. So the end, he took Aarti, and I remember after the function in the Hillview Stadium is over, we would all rush to the Mandir, because in the Hillview Stadium, we would get photographs with Swami as a campus. The final formation, Swami would come. But then every participant, every student wanted photographs with Swami with their individual groups. Like if I have done stick fighting, then along with stick fighting group, I want my photograph. The band boys want their photograph. You know, somebody has done Shivatandava dance, so that group wants their individual photograph. So we would actually rush to Mandir and position ourselves inside the Sai Prabandh Hall and in different groups. And the challenge is to reach Mandir before Swami reaches. As Swami's car starts, I remember we would just dash and organize ourselves. And the moment Swami gets down from the car, you know, start praying, Swami, please come give photographs. And he would oblige. I mean, it would be really, you know, 30 days or 15, 20 days of really rigorous practice. And Swami would definitely go that extra length, even though it would have been a long session for him. And that year also Swami did the same. He went to every group, did the photographs and everything. And in the evening of Jan 14, when Bhagwan gave a discourse, Swami mentioned that I had told the warden that we should not do any adventurous stuff this year. But when I was coming for the inaugural ceremony, I saw two huge trucks and there were some rods fixed on that. And I saw that one of the rods was not anchored properly, and there was imminent danger on the boy who was to perform. It would have definitely been a bone-breaking, perhaps spine injury. And to avert that to that boy, I took it upon myself. Sometimes when you don't listen to me, I have no other option but to take it upon myself, because I have to take care of you, I have to protect you, and I will go to any extent to safeguard you. And Swami said, some of you might have noticed that when I was coming and I suddenly fell with a jerk, and that pain was so excruciating, actually it started bleeding, and I just kept telling myself that I'm not the body. I keep telling others that I'm not the body. But this was the time when I had to let everyone know how it is to conduct when you think you're not the body. So even though there was a lot of pain and my spine was injured and my hand had a lot of gashes, but still I continued. And Swami said, but I kept visiting the restroom because there's a lot of blood coming. So I didn't want to tell anyone. So I kept visiting the restroom to wash off all that. And there were so many towels that I used what was there, but I didn't want to let anyone know. And please know that I will always go to any extent when it comes to protecting you. And one of the boys who was serving Swami then, he had been given that duty just few months prior to that. In September 1998, Swami gave this brother to walk behind him and serve him at close quarters. And this brother was thinking, but actually, you know, Swami is making up all this. Nothing really this tragic happened the way Swami is saying. Because he just fell and he got up. I mean, why Swami is saying that he had blood and cuts and this and that. But that didn't happen. There's nothing like that because he was serving Swami. He was behind Swami. So he had this thought when Bhagwan was giving the discourse. And after the discourse was over, Swami went into the interview room. Swami called the warden. And then Swami called this boy also. And the warden started seeking forgiveness. Swami, it's our mistake, you know, because of we not listening to you. You had to go through so much pain and please forgive us and all that. And Swami said, no, it's okay, you know. Whatever happened, happened, past is past, and don't worry about anything. And then Swami looked at this boy and Swami said, you know, the pain was so excruciating. And then Swami lifted his sleeve on both hands and the boy saw very deep gashes. Actually, it was almost somebody had taken a knife and stabbed. So that kind of deep cuts were there in both the palms. And Swami said, it's the same on my back. It's the same on so many places. And I can't tell you how difficult it has been. And somehow I have managed to do. But Swami said, you know, I don't have suffering. I mean, pain is there, but I don't suffer. And for the boy, that was such a revealing moment because until then, he thought seeing is believing. What he saw, he thought he should believe. But it was a moment which told him that when it comes to divine, perhaps believing is seeing. You have to first believe what he says. Have that absolute, don't ever question. If you have doubt, you are out. And still, that thought kept lingering in his mind that, how do I understand this? And then a very senior devotee who had actually told him, don't get carried away by what you see on the periphery and at the normal physical level. What Swami has done has so many dimensions to it. And in fact, Swami mentioned in that discourse, Dan 14, 1999, saying that I will take up any pain to save this world. I will take up any pain for my devotees, for my students, and to save this world. And only then it occurred that perhaps this was just that immediate cause. Just like when the 1963 Shivaratri incident happened, when Swami was paralyzed for 7 days, and Swami said he had taken upon himself the heart attack, multiple heart attacks of a devotee. And then later on, Swami said that was just the immediate cause. The remote cause, Swami said, was that Shiva Shakti story, the boon to Bharadwaja. We all know the story, but everything has so many dimensions to it. And now in 1999, when you think about it, there were so many predictions about World War. I mean, if you read the Nostradamus predictions, and there were so many other people who had said that the world is going to see a huge catastrophe, something like a world war, in 1999. And maybe Swami just took it upon himself. Maybe Swami ensured that the world is saved from such a huge danger. Because what you and me will have to experience for, say, 10 lives, Swami can experience it in his body for 10 minutes and that is taken care of. The karma has to be accounted for. But when the avatar comes down in a human form, and this is what we have seen time and again, in the time of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was on the cross for one day, and that was to absolve all the sins of the world. And to me, it seems like Swami was on the cross right from 2003. Because if you look at the world, there is so much happening, so much negativity happening, and you wonder what, you know, it almost seems like you look at the environment, look at some of the acts that are happening, look at so many, and the newspapers are full of it, and you feel, oh my God, where is the world headed? And then you see here Bhagwan constantly physically deteriorating right from 2003 onwards. In 2002, Guru Purnima, just before the festival, there was one boy from the US who had joined. His father had passed away and Swami had given admission to this boy. His mother was doing prashant nilam. Swami, and Swami saw that the boy has mumps. And it was very painful for the boy. Swami went and spoke to the mother for a long time. And the mother explained all the problems that they are going through. And Swami said, okay, I will take care. And we know how during that period, the next onwards, you had that huge swelling on Swami's cheek. And in spite of that, Swami gave the Guru Purnima discourse in 2002. And in fact, it was during that time that the statue that got reinstalled now in Prashanti Nilayam was first time installed. In fact, when the statue came, Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, and the students who were serving Swami and living in the Pune Chandra auditorium got the message that a huge parcel has come from Italy and they were supposed to unload it and keep it in the Pune Chandra auditorium. And when they were trying to unload, they saw that it was really, really heavy. So they kept it in one corner of the Pune Chandra stage, because the stage of Pune Chandra is actually hollow, it can rotate. They thought it will probably not take the weight because it is really heavy. So they kept it in one corner, and after a few days, Bhagwan returned from Vrindavan and Swami now went straight to Pune Chandra auditorium, and Swami asked them to open this parcel. And that is when they saw this statue made of probably five metals, and it had this huge life-size image. And so Swami asked the boy serving, how is it? He didn't say anything actually, because he did not like it. Swami said, tell me, how is it? Again, he kept quiet. Swami said, no, you don't like it. It's not nice. And the boy said, Swami, it's not that, but why do we need a statue? Swami, you are there. You're there, such a beautiful form. Why do we need a statue now, Swami? And Swami said, no, but once this body is not there, what will you do? And this brother said, Swami, why are you talking like this, Swami? You're going to be here for so many more years. I don't want to even think of that time when you're not there. Why do we have to even think like that, Swami? Why are you talking like this? And Swami said, don't get so attached to this body or even to this image, to this statue. I decided when I will come. I decided on my advent, and I can decide when I have to go. You may think that it is 96 years, but I can decide to leave whenever I want. Focus not on this form, not on the statue also. focus on the real Swami. Think only of the real Swami. Very interestingly, in fact, today if you go to the bhajan hall, and the day it was installed, as I was going closer and closer to the statue, you know, the feeling that I got, it's like the statue is pulling you. There's so much of power there. I mean, I can't explain it actually. You know, next time when you come to Parthi, you can feel it for yourself. But it is, as you go closer, it becomes like alive and it's like pulling you. And it is so perfect because this is one statue which Swami has personally given his attention. Personally, Swami had so many conversations with the person who got it done. And he has personally directed the making of the statue. And the photo that you see is in the photo in the Poonachandra auditorium when it finally initially came. Whenever you are in Prashanti next, you go to the bhajan hall and go closer and closer to the statue and you will get a feel of what I am talking. It almost feels like when you go to Tirupati and you know as you go near Balaji, you know, you feel that power. It's something like that. And I'm reminded of how Swami, way back in 1950, Swami had said this place will become like another Tirupati, another Kashi and all that. Even greater. That is the power of Prashanti. So in 2002 this happened. And in 2003, you had when Bhagwan started this drama of his injury. And after that, body started deteriorating more and more. And if you see in March 2011, I think that was one time when you had the entire Sai world praying for Bhagwan. Now we are seeing not just the Sai world, the whole world. 199 countries are affected with this problem, what we are experiencing today with the corona. In March, April 2011, you had the entire Sai world praying. And if you remember, at that time, there was a nuclear holocaust. There was a nuclear disaster in Japan. And, you know, that was such a massive catastrophe. And we thought that is something definitely going to endanger so many people's lives and so much of the plant animal life. But somehow that was controlled. It is my feeling that, you know, during that time, Swami was taking again upon himself all these tragedies that the world had to experience. We have so many predictions about how the world is going to come and end because of so many things that are happening in the current times. But in 2011, whenever I used to see Swami and see Swami in that precarious condition, you know, he's not able to speak well, he's not able to even lift his hand. And it always used to occur to me that, you know, he's just taking upon himself because, and that is what an avatar does. An avatar constantly does things to take upon himself the tragedies of the world. And this is what we have seen time and again. And this is something that I feel if Swami was there today, perhaps Swami would have averted this danger. If Swami would have been there today, you know, his compassion is so great. His love is so much for mankind that he would have never allowed such a tragedy to probably happen. He would have just taken it upon himself. He would have not come out for darshan for 10 days or he would have, you know, just undergone that pain probably, you know, he would have not been able to walk, probably would have become paralyzed. Anything could have happened, but he would have never allowed this to come upon humanity because that is how much love the avatar has. I mean, when he takes that human body, then that is what he does. The human body is basically for protection of the world to Sadhujana Poshana, as Swami says, to help everyone to protect the world. And I think that is what the avatar would have definitely done. And even now, the body is not there, but the grace is there, the message is there. And that is what now I saw when I went to Nepal recently. From March 11th to March 21st, I was in Nepal for 11 days. And one thing that I noticed in this little country is every center you go, they are doing Gayatri chanting. And they started this long ago. And even before the corona pandemic started, they were doing this Gayatri chanting in every center. And Nepal, even though the country is tiny, you may not believe it has 225 Sai centers. It has the maximum number of devotees outside of India. And everywhere they have been doing Gayatri chanting. And today if you see, there are only, until 2 days ago, today's statistics I do not know, there are only two cases of corona-affected people in this country, even though it shares like 1400 kilometers of border with China and it has 1700 kilometers border with India, even then it's a mystery that it is not affected by this disaster. And I don't know what the other reasons are, but to me it just seemed like here is a country which has this powerful shrine of Muktinath, Pashupatinath, and it's a country which has largely predominantly been a Hindu country, and there's a lot of love for the divine. Everywhere you find lots of temples, there's so many Shakti Peeths, and they have been doing this Gayatri chanting for so long, and they have been doing this chanting not just for themselves but for entire humanity. And probably this is what has saved them. Probably this is what has ensured that they are protected. I mean, though it seems that they are the first country which should be affected, given they have so many towns and cities just adjacent to China and India. Sri Lanka, which is like half the size of Nepal, has more than 100 cases, but Nepal has just 2. But I feel in these times, the best thing to do is, yes, prayer, because I remember once when Bhagwan had a physical ailment, there was a blister on his toe. In those days, you know, in Prashanthi Nilayam, we used to not have this marble floor. We used to have this rough concrete. So I still used to give hours. He would give Padmaskaram to every group. So one day the boy saw that there was this blister on his foot. And they said, Swami, please don't come for darshan. Swami, please take rest. Swami said, what you're talking? There's no way. There are so many people. There are birthday celebrations. So many people have come. I have to give them blessings. I have to give them. So Swami kept going every day. And Swami was doing these long sessions of Padmaskaram. And one day Swami just burst it. You know, he took a nail cutter and removed that blister. Because he didn't want people to know that there is a problem on his foot. Because they are going to take Padmaskaram. I don't want them to know. And the boy said, Swami, please don't do it. It will be so painful. Please, Swami, don't come outside. I said, no, I have to do. And Swami, what can we do, Swami? And I said, you pray. Because his body is not mine. And the boy actually prayed. And the next day, Swami showed that it was healed. So what can heal? And nature is what? Nature is the body of God. So what can heal the world is definitely prayer. And that is what all of us are doing now. And in fact, these are times when, as I said, the whole world is praying. Even if someone, until this day, he said that I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist, even then I think these are times when he's also feeling that maybe there is something, you know, maybe all these billions of dollars will be of no use for me. Maybe all my rationality is of no use, because these are times when I need someone outside to help solve this situation for me. I think these are times when the consciousness of humanity is rising. So one thing that we definitely need to do, and everybody, all of us are doing, is prayer. At the same time, I feel this extra time that we have got is a beautiful time to discipline our lives. You know, many times we have thought that we want to have this schedule. Like, for example, when we are in the hostel, whatever schedule we have of early morning prayer and then jogging and then a systematic way of filling your life with sacred activities all through the day and end with a night prayer and all that. So even though the boys do not have mobile phones, nobody really feels the need for it, because your day is so packed with so many things. You can't think of university students not having mobile phones and not complaining. It's because of how Swami has occupied the mind of the students with so many activities. So their time is spent very productively. So I think this is one of those times when we can bring that discipline into our lives, because most of us are working from home, we are staying at home. So now at least let us take this opportunity to bring that discipline. I will get up at this time and I will be ready at this time and I will do this sadhana. I remember when I was in the hospital for nearly three and a half years, I was in the hospital because of an ailment. After that, I joined Radio Sai. And there was a time when I had this schedule for myself. So every day, you know, after I finished my bath, I would do, okay, chant Lalita Sahasranam for, you know, for the first half an hour, then chant the Rudram, then do your reading, have lunch, and then try and do some other chant, and then some reading, and then some serving. I mean, that is how the day was filled. So, and you could follow that schedule because there's not so much of outside interruptions. So perhaps this is one of the times when we can bring that discipline into our lives. So I feel these are times to convert this adversity into opportunity by first D is to bring discipline into our life. Second, I feel, is to discover our latent potencies, discover our interests, our talent, our skills, because again, you have time. I remember during those three and a half years, that was the time when I did a lot of reading because Swami was not giving me a job. In fact, what happened was, after I finished my MBA, I was so sure of working somewhere in Prashanthi Nilayam, and I was so sure that Swami will give me some job, that I was like, let me relax for a while, and because anyway I'm going to be here, anyway I'm not go out. Even when I was doing my MBA, I never had that dream of, you know, working in a corporate. I should never ever imagine myself sitting in a corporate boardroom. I always knew that I'll be somewhere here. Somehow my heart was always here. And I was so confident that Swami will give me a job that I was not even showing my face to Swami. I thought, for some time, you know, I have done so much academic studies. I want to just be free and I want to do my reading. I want to do other things. So I was not even showing my face. But one day Swami saw my face and Swami said, what are you doing? And you have to get into the job. You go to the Bangalore hospital and you start working. And so that's how my vacation ended and I started working. And, you know, the whole thing of working for Swami came so easily, actually. I mean, it was, in fact, I didn't even really, didn't pine for it, didn't ask for it. The exams got over, Swami saw me, and Swami said, no, you go and work. And that's how I started working. And when I fell sick, and I lost the chance, and after that, when I asked Swami for work, he kept putting me through such a huge grind. If I asked Swami, I was sick, I recovered, then I told Swami, please give me a job. He said, I'll give you. Oh, no, Guru Purnima is coming. Let Guru Purnima be over. All these people have come. Once Guru Purnima is over, I'll give you a job. And then Guru Purnima would be over. Then he said, Krishnashtami is coming. See, now Krishnashtami, after that function, I'll be a little free. I'll give you a job after that. And Krishnashtami, birthday, a lot of devotees coming. I'm going to be very busy. After the birthday, after devotees go, I'll give you a job. And birthday will go, a lot of foreigners are now coming. I'm very busy now. After that, I'll definitely give you a job. And then Christmas will go on. And then, see, Uttarayanam, January, Uttarayanam, that's an auspicious time. That will be a good time. Then you start a new job. I'll give you a job. And Uttarayanam will come, Swami will tell, every time after the festival is over, you will not talk to me. And when I would ask them, the next festival is coming. They'll say, Shivratri is coming. Shivratri is a lot of repetitions are going on. I'll give you a job after Shivratri. And Shivratri will be over. And says, Ugadi, New Year, that is the best time for you to start in something new. I'll give you a job. And then Ugadi will be over. And then he'll say, I'm going to Vrindavan now. And when I come back from Vrindavan, new academic year, I'll give you a job. So it just went on and on and on and on. And every day I would come back to my room and keep crying. I mean, those 2-3 years were just crying every day. So please give me a job. Please give me a job. And at that age, you know, you can't imagine yourself doing nothing. And finally, when it came, you know, it came after like 2-2.5 years of everyday penance. And that's when I realized that, you know, if you have this chance to work for God and if you take it lightly, you're going to pay for it heavily. At that point in time, I took it so lightly. And now he really made me pine for getting this chance back to serve. And of course, what came was something that was really changed my life to work in Radio Sai, but it did not come easy. So I feel these are times to spend our time pining for the Lord, because after that something very beautiful is going to come. And during these 3-3.5 years, I spent that time, even though Swami did not give me any job, I spent that time writing, I spent that time reading, I spent that time singing. So everything that I started doing after 3-3.5 years, I started honing those skills during this period. Because after this, when I joined Radio Sai, I actually took over as the editor of the journal. I could not have done that if I had not spent these 3 hours productively, constantly writing and reading and improving my skills. So I feel these are times, if we spend our time usefully and discover our whatever little skills and gifts Swami has given, we will see that, you know, we would have converted this adversity into an opportunity. And the third is to devote time in service. So discipline, discover, and to devote time in service. When I was in the hospital, there was this other boy, little fellow, who joined on the ward next to my room, in this isolation room. And this fellow was from the primary school. So because his parents had not yet come, because it will take them 2-3 days to come. And I saw this fellow all alone. So I would go from my room to this fellow's room, and I would go and, you know, share with him whatever little books I had got, comics. And in fact, because Swami was so concerned about him, about me, people used to come. They used to, in fact, there was a TV that was put in my room. So I would call this boy, and, you know, together we would watch movies and Ramayana, Mahabharata serials and read comics. And I would spend so much time with this boy. After 2-3 days, when this boy's parents came, And the parents asked, how are you? Who's taking care of you? And the boy said, oh, I am so happy, you know, because this blue doctor is taking care of me. The blue doctor did this for me, did that for me. I'm so happy. Even though when I have pain, I forget because this blue doctor takes care of me. And the nurses and everyone was searching, who is this blue doctor, until they came to my room. Because we were all in this blue dress. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, these are moments, you know, even in times of adversity, there are so many ways we can explore how we can be of help to others. And I think you can do it through technology, you can do it through a phone call, you can do it through so many ways. And I think these are times to experience that joy, to devote our time in service. So discipline your lives, discover your skills, your talents, hone them, devote your time in service. And fourth, the most beautiful thing is to delight in solitude. And I think these are times we should learn to delight in connecting with Swami and be complete in ourselves. In the US, 45% of the people above the age of 45 are feeling lonely. And I feel any Sai devotee, wherever he is, should never feel lonely. Because you have Swami with us. Even if there are 100 people around, even if you have 500 people who are friends on Facebook, but they are not going to complete your life. Even if you have zero friends on Facebook, but if you have Swami with you, you will feel so complete. I think that is something that we need to cultivate, strengthen and embolden. And this is a time to build that connect, to strengthen that connect, to never ever feel lonely in life, to experience the bliss of solitude, to experience the joy of being connected and knowing that I don't need anyone else in my life when I have Swami with me. That is enough for me to go through anything in my life. I think that is the confidence that we should have, and that is the joy that we should radiate. And I think every Sai devotee should be a happy person. And you are happy because happiness is union with God. I am with Swami, so I am always happy. Nothing will ever happen to me. I am here to only serve. I think that is the kind of feeling that we can definitely cultivate and strengthen during this period. So discipline your life, discover your talents, discover your skills, hone them. Devote time in service. Find some time to do this, because that joy that you can get from service, you won't get it from anywhere else. And finally, delight in solitude. I think if we can do at least one or two of these things, then probably when Bhagwan looks at us and Swami asks us, so what did you do? I gave you such a long vacation. Even I was healing the world. But Swami, this is what I did. I never lost a moment thinking of you. I went out and I helped this person. I brought a smile on his face. This is the gift that you have given me, and I have tried to improve on that. And I have brought this Prashanti schedule, I have brought this discipline into my life, Swami. Are you happy, Swami? And Swami should say, I'm not just happy, I am proud of you. I think that should be our journey. I give myself to you, O Sai. I give myself to you, so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself to you, O Sai. I give myself to you, so you can use me. So you can use me. Thank you so much.
Hello, brother. Thank you so much. I think that's a wonderful setup. So with that, we have some questions coming in. So please type your questions for Brother Bishu. So let me start off with the first question. That is from Sister Ishita.
Okay.
How can writing a letter to Swami be good?
Writing a letter to Swami is basically a sadhana. Just like, you know, when you have so many thoughts going on in your mind, you actually put it down, you get more clarity. That's why they used to say, even as a student, when you learnt a lesson, write it down. Because as you write down, then you know all your faculties are involved. Your thinking, your writing, your forming the sentences, the words. So if you're going to an examination also, if you have written down everything, then definitely there is more clarity. So when you write something down, be it a prayer to Swami, be it your request to Swami, you are more clear with your prayer. We are not writing letters to Swami to let Swami know, because we all know that Swami already knows everything. But it is trying to communicate clearly to Swami what is happening in our heart. And when you write, that whole, our entire being occupied in communicating that prayer to Swami is what is the sadhana. Every letter you write is again a gift that he has given you. There is nothing that you can tell him that he does not know. But just that whole process of doing that sadhana of writing helps us to connect with Swami with all of ourselves. And I think this is for something that I also do it, you know, whenever there is a prayer. Just write, because as you write, then you know your all feelings are poured into it, your all thoughts are poured into it. That whole action actually purifies you. So that is probably the reason why we should write. It's not that you must write, but writing to Swami is such a beautiful practice of communicating our prayers and talking to Swami.
Second question from Brother Vish. A Swamiram brother loves when you said, Swami is with you, we're not alone. On that note, can you tell how to keep that constant connection with him?
I think there are everything that Swami has asked us to do in the Satisaya organization. For example, when we were students and we used to ask Swami what sadhana the student should do, Swami never said, you know, do this sadhana, do this Kriya Yoga, do this Vipassana meditation or anything. He never said asked us to do any of those stuff. Swami said, you just follow the hostel schedule. Follow the hostel schedule diligently. That is enough. In fact, I remember during the early years of summer course, when the students from various other universities and colleges were allowed to be part of the summer course, once there was someone who gave a talk in the summer course, and he talked about the rising of the Kundalini and all the Sahasrara and all that sadhana. And some boys got really very inspired, and they actually went to the city and told someone, and they got these books on how to arise, awaken your Kundalini and all that. And that evening when Swami was giving a discourse, Swami suddenly changed track in the middle of the discourse, and Swami said, there are some people who think that, you know, this is the way for spiritual development, to do these sadhanas and ensure that your Kundalini rises. Swami said, these are not the practices that are needed for you. It can be very dangerous also if you don't have the right gurus. And these days it is very difficult to get those kind of right gurus, because somebody might know the theory, but very rarely you find people who have practiced it. Just like Swami says, astrology as a science is perfect. But for that science to work for you, the person who understands and who enlightens you about this also should be that pure. The medium and the subject both need to be pure, and very difficult to get that in the current times. So Swami said in that discourse that you don't have to do all this. You just do whatever is asked for you to do in the Satisaya organization. Swami said, do that diligently. I will take care of everything else. So I think if we think about all the different activities that organization asks us to do, if we do that sincerely, and the personal sadhana, if you see, you know, whatever Swami talks about in the morning, get up in the early morning, do your 21 times Omkaram, do your Suprabhatam, do your chanting. And if you are constantly at every moment of the day, if you are constantly telling, thank you Swami, think and thank. If I can every time, you know, if I am able to do the satsang today, connectivity is fine. And if you are able to listen to me, thank you Swami. If it broke and we were not able to do also, thank you Swami. Maybe there is something else, you know, maybe you wanted me to do it some other time, or maybe there is someone who has not been listening now, you want him to listen, maybe that's why you want me to do it later. So whatever happens, good, bad, not so nice, he says, thank you Swami, thank you Swami, thank you Swami. We would definitely see that, you know, we are able to keep that connect. So what is the connect? To constantly always think of him and do these practices, whatever is mandated in the organization, all these little sadhanas that Swami has given. When you're driving, we can always think about Swami. When we are cooking, we can think about Swami, as Swami used to say, you know. In fact, as you do everything, you will start seeing that you can connect to everything. As Swami used to say, when you're sweeping the place, you can think about your impurities are going up. When you're exhaling, you can think, okay, my anger is going out today. Okay, I'm a little bit of my greed is going out. I mean, there are so many ways you can think. If you just every time keep thinking, I think it'll keep happening. But the short answer is perhaps just think and thank Swami at every moment and try to do everything that is mandated by the organization and do and have, just like Swami says, for every person, breathing and eating is natural. I mean, you cannot survive without it. The Swami says, for every person, some sadhana is mandatory. If you're a human being, you should be doing some sadhana. Because you're not an animal to just eat, sleep and make merry. If you're a human being, you should be doing some sadhana or the other. Something for your growth of your spiritual energy. It could be Gayatri Mantra chanting, it could be, you know, Mrityunjaya Mantra chanting, it could be Sai Gayatri, it could be reading, you know, it could be anything, but we should be doing something for our soul. And that is what is very important. And once we cultivate that, we'll spend more time in that and we'll keep enjoying that. So think and thank Swami every moment.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I think the next answer to the question, I think you already must have just given us, but you know, let me read out for you. How to overcome the frustration when we are quarantined and fear of death, Brother Jayaprakash?
Frustration happens when we think that somebody has done some wrong to me. Frustration happens when we think that somebody has wronged me, somebody has thrust upon this trouble on me. That's when frustration happens. That's when a lot of negativity happens. Or you think that this is not what I should be going through. But frustration changes and turns to acceptance when you think that, okay, whatever I am going through in my life is whatever I am supposed to go through. In the sense that, and this is the truth, there is nothing that we are going through in our life that we didn't create it for ourselves. And I completely believe in this, and this is what is actually the truth. This Swami also all the time has said, you know, even if somebody scolds at me today, if somebody gets angry at me today, suddenly if I lose my job, suddenly I'm not getting my promotion, suddenly there is a pay cut, whatever is the reason, we can blame the employer, we can blame my boss, we can blame a member of the family for whatever you're going through. While that is one way of looking at it, but the truth is, whatever you're going through, there is no outside person responsible for it. See, when there are so many good things that happen to us, and sometimes, you know, unexpectedly good things also happen to us. And that time, you know, we think, yeah, you know, perhaps I deserve it. Perhaps, you know, it's God's grace. Perhaps this is that, this, you know, we take it, we accept it. But when something wrong happens to us, you know, we are all the time so hesitant to accept that this should happen to me. But the truth is, whatever is happening is what you have created for yourself. There is no outside person that is responsible for whatever you are going through. And the way to go through is first accept it with love. And once you accept, then there will be no negativity. You will not hate any person. You will not hold any other person responsible. And slowly, once you accept, then you learn how to deal with it. And as I said, okay, now if I have to go through this, what is the best way to go through this? If I'm at home, best thing is I will see how to make best use of my time. In fact, these are times where you get the most precious commodity which everyone all the time is looking for is time. Many times, this is what we don't have most of the time. And this is what we have got now in ample quantity now. So I think we should feel how I can go through this and make the best of this opportunity. There are, if someone throws a stone at you, you should tell, doesn't matter. I will convert this into a stepping stone. If today I'm working on Radio Sai, in Radio Sai, it's only because the 3.5 years I did not waste it by Swami's grace. It's only because I cultivated little bit skill that I could join Radio Sai and do something. So I feel this frustration will happen only if you think this is not something that I'm supposed to go through. Accept it. This is the best thing that could have happened to me. This is the best thing that could have happened to the world. We don't know what is the reason. We don't know what is the purpose. But if I have that approach, then definitely I will have more energy and I will convert everything negative into positive. and I will heal myself, I will heal my community, I will heal the world faster.
Thank you, brother. The next question by brother Mohan Chagarajan. You mentioned 2+ years ago, you pined to do a job in Prashant Nilayam. Did you lose hope at that point of time? How did you console yourself during that time?
It was a very difficult period because, I mean, Swami was not responding. I mean, Swami, I can't say responding. He was concerned. In fact, when I was in the hospital, Swami came to see me in the first time when I fell sick, you know. So he showered this so much love on me, I couldn't imagine. In fact, at that point in time, it just felt that I really thank that bacteria because I never got this much love from Swami. You know, if this disease can bring so much shower of love, I welcome it. You know, it was like that at that phase of time. But, you know, but slowly everything is a changing phase and Swami is not here to entertain you. He's only here to enlighten you and to purify you. So he'll make you go through everything till he's happy that you're growing spiritually. So after that, you know, when I recovered and even though he was concerned, he stopped talking to me. And I don't know why he stopped talking to me. I don't know why suddenly you shower so much and suddenly you stopped talking to me. And then he just completely sort of, and I fell sick again. Actually, the illness recovered. And after 7-8 months, there was a recurrence. And again, now he was concerned. But now still he will not talk to me. But he will call the doctors and he would make all the arrangements. He would decide what operation should be done. Everything he would, minute by minute, he wanted update, but he would not talk to me. You know, and like, Swami, you're talking about me, right? Why don't you talk to me? You're so concerned about me, but why if I'm sitting in the veranda, you don't want to come and even speak 2 words with me? But that's how it was. I was just going through a lot of churning, and after that I recovered, and still for 1.5-2 years, you know, 2 years, it didn't give me a job. So it was really difficult because, you know, I'm someone who just cannot not do anything. In fact, it was during that time that, you know, I felt, okay, let me do something. And so I looked at the Central Trust website, and the Central Trust did not have a good website then. So I just said, you know, let me redo this. So I actually wrote the content of the entire Central Trust website. So the Central Trust website got revamped just now, but from that time, from 2002, 2003, that's when I sat and I wrote the entire content of the website. And then I got someone, you know, through some friends, and I got the website designed. Then I went to the school and I told the principal, sir, the school didn't have a really very good prospectus. So I wrote the whole content for the prospectus, then I did a website for the school. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, yeah, Swami was not giving me a job, but I was just still, I was praying and praying and praying every day. Like every day, come back from darshan and sit, go into the, you know, hide inside the pillow and, you know, and keep crying. Swami, please give me a job. But then you get up again and say, okay, what can I do? And I start reading and then start writing. So it was just constantly and sleeping, hoping that at least he will come in the dream and tell me something. You know, it was like that actually. Every day hoping something he will do. But he would not do, you know, he would just, if I made a card, then he will look at it from far, but he will not look at my face. And in the card, I would have put the photo of me and Swami, like, together in Kodaikanal, all those individual photographs. So just to let Swami know that, you know what, you know, sometime we were like this, you know, together, once upon a time you used to talk to me. I don't know why you're not talking to me. So that kind of, so if you look at the card, but still you not look at me. And you'll look at the card and you'll keep looking at the card and you'll take the card. In fact, I got the cards back after many years. The boy serving inside gave it to me. But that is how it was. So it was not as if his eyes were not on me, but he just wanted me to perhaps to go through that whole process. So it's like that. Now I know that nothing ever happens in your life to break you. Everything happens in your life to only make you. Everything is only in preparation for something very beautiful that is going to happen. I mean, that I'm very convinced now. If anything untoward also happens, I know that something beautiful is happening. You know, maybe this was not the best thing that should have happened to me. Just like I was supposed to go to the US and I didn't get the visa, I think 2-3 years ago. And when that did not happen, yes, I was initially a little disturbed. But then I said, okay, fine, maybe that is not the best thing that should have happened to me. Actually, then suddenly somebody called my mom's friend, and they said that, you know, there is Kumbh Mela happening in Ujjain, and it happened once in 2 years. And my mom was so excited to go. I said, okay, fine, let's go there. It was not as if I sat and said, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone. This is the most terrible thing that could have happened to me. Swami did this to me and I don't want to talk to anyone. Just leave me inside my room. You know, I have to deal with it. I knew all that. I said, okay, fine, Swami, it's fine. And I took my mom and my parents for this Ujjain, you know, and they had such a blissful time. It was heavenly for them. They had never gone outside because Swami was here all these years, which never traveled. So I feel, okay, fine, maybe sometime, some other time I'll go to the US, but my parents can go and have this experience, which happens once in 12 years. They will definitely, their bodies would not be in a position to travel after 12 years. So fine, that is definitely the thing that happened for me. So I think that is the way to keep yourself upbeat, because I think only when you keep yourself upbeat, you'll keep seeing new opportunities. If you just look down, then you will miss to see the new doors that are opening. So yeah, so I went through a process, definitely. Today I'm wiser. At that point in time, I was not that wise, but at least I ensured that I didn't waste my time.
I guess maybe you're also preparing for this. I mean, literally practicing the 4 Ds that you're able to later verbalize in, you know, in the message format. That's probably you're practicing as well. Come on. Very good.
I didn't know, but I had to do some things. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing though.
I think we will pick one last question. I think it sort of also, it sums up the talk today from Sister Alesha. In the current situation, we are facing a great deal of uncertainty. How can we learn to be at peace with this level of uncertainty?
As I said before, whatever is happening is perhaps good for the world. I don't know how. I don't know in what way, in what dimensions it is working. I was just imagining a patient suffering now. Okay, and this patient is saying, who's affected, he's saying, oh, I've got this temperature in me, I'm feeling so warm, I'm feeling so hot, my body is burning. And he's saying that, oh my God, I'm not able to breathe, it's so difficult, my lungs are so heavy. And he's feeling for the last 3 days, I'm feeling I'm wasting away, I don't know if there's any hope for me, can anyone do anything please, can anyone empathize with me? And then he hears a voice. And this voice is saying, yeah, I can understand your pain. You have been suffering for 3 days. But let me tell you, I have been suffering for 300 years. You are walking on me. You are living on me. I'm your mother. I'm Mother Earth. My temperatures have been rising for so many years. In the last 100 years, it has risen so much. And I have tried to tell people in so many ways. I've tried to let people know what is happening, but nobody wants to even give it any meaning to it. I'm feeling so hot inside. You are saying that you're breathing heavily. Do you know how difficult it is for me to breathe? I was breathing so easy 100, 200 years ago, but now it is so difficult for me. Year after year, forests are just going off. I don't have any lungs anymore. It's like, you know, I'm just filled with carbon dioxide and so many toxins. It's so difficult for me to even breathe. You're saying that you're having aches all over your body. Let me tell you this. People have dug such deep holes in my being that I cannot even touch any place. It just is excruciating pain because people have dug such deep holes because they just want to exploit me completely. They're so mean. They're so cruel. I'm happy to serve. I'm happy for them. I'm happy to give. But people have been so mean. They just want to exploit me, you know. And I was constantly praying to the Lord, please do something. Please do something. And I don't know, in the last few days, you know, I am feeling so good. I'm able to breathe. I'm feeling maybe there is some hope. I'm feeling some relief. And when the person heard Mother Earth speak these words, he said, okay, fine. I'll go through what I have to go through. No problem. So we don't know. So best thing is to be at peace is to be at peace with what is happening. Okay, whatever is happening now, pray to Swami. Swami, you know best. But I will do from my side whatever I can. Definitely you are in charge and you know what is best for whom. And maybe this is definitely good for humanity. How it is good, I do not know. Yes, there are people suffering. What can I do for them? I can pray for them. Yes, somebody is feeling lonely. What can I do for them? I can share some love with that person. Yes, somebody is not able to get his basic essentials because everything is locked down. How can I help? Okay, let me see if I can go and help this senior. So that is what will give us peace. You know, when we try and do something and something which will fill our heart and praying. If you cannot do anything else, just sit at your home and shed tears and pray for these people. Just if, even if we do that, you know, that whole experience will cleanse us. and we'll feel so light and we'll feel so. And definitely, there's no prayer that goes waste. Every moment spent for God, if you have spent moments for the world, that might not sometimes give you returns. But if you have spent a moment for God, it will never go waste. So whatever time we have, let's spend in love, let's spend in service, let's spend in devotion. That itself will give us so much peace.
Thank you, brother. Very profound thoughts. And your message today to all of us, of course, you know, we all of us live far. And it's coming from Prashanti's. We take it as, you know, coming from Swami in so many ways. So discipline your lives. Discover new skills, talents, devote time in service, delight in solitude. There's the message that you want to take on how we want to convert this adverse time into an opportunity. First of all, I would like to offer my gratitude to our beloved Bhagwan for sending brother, you know, virtually to all of us so that we can listen to his wonderful talk and the wonderful message. And also, brother, thank you so much to you for taking the time and literally really agreeing with just one phone conversation. I think, we are all really indebted to you for this wonderful time that you've shared with us. And thank you so much. Stay safe. We also want to thank you, brother, and also the entire Radio Sai team for the great service that you're actually rendering to humanity by connecting all of us and, you know, keeping us focused on Swami's message and Swami's love. Thank you so much. And this is on behalf of Fremont Center and also so many other devotees who are all logged in from everywhere. Thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing you, your experience again at some other time when time can become commonwealth.
If it is happening, if Radio Sai is happening, it is His will. If this satsang happens, it is His will. So let's keep praying and see where He takes us. Thank you so much. Sayonara.